Hello and welcome to a new episode of Content Rookie. I'm really excited to talk to today's guest, Shannon. You may know Shannon from LinkedIn. For over a year now, she's been sharing a bunch of really cool content design and UX writing jobs and related jobs to make it easier for people to find their next gig. And of course, she's also a big name in the field in general, specifically known for her leadership. So we're going to talk a little bit about Shannon's career and how she got where she is today and what it is like to be a content design manager and then also a general UX manager. So thanks for tuning in and I hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Content Rookie, Shannon. Why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners?
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on. Super, super excited to get to chat today. Hi, everyone. I'm Shannon and my pronouns are she, her, hers. And I live over in Richmond, Virginia, on the East Coast of the United States. And right now, I am currently a senior manager of content design.
Wow. And Shannon, I'm just going to say this because I feel like a lot of the listeners probably have seen you around on LinkedIn and may not associate that with this episode right now. But Shannon is the lovely person that has, for almost a year now, right, or maybe even longer, been posting and reposting all the really good content design jobs on LinkedIn.
Yeah. No, thank you for shouting that out. I always feel weird about like, oh yeah, like doing the LinkedIn job stuff. But yeah, I think it's probably been like a year and a half now. And really what motivated that was just being able to try to, one, pay it forward. Because there've been so many kind and generous people who have helped me out through my UX career, my content career. And the other part of it is really trying to spotlight all the kinds of different places where a UX writer, a content strategist, a content designer, where they can apply their skills, whether it's, you know, continuing in the path of UX writing or content design, or in the event that there's a place where maybe there's transferable skills that they could bring and maybe they want to explore a new interest in like tech writing. And part of it is also just motivated by the fact that I know it's job title soup out there. It's one of the examples I like to share with folks is I think like sometimes if you're looking at civic tech jobs in the US, so looking at jobs working within, say, the federal government, sometimes those job titles show up as like systems analyst or something like that. So sometimes a title might not be what you expect it to be. It might be a little obscure. They have to borrow from internal job codes and like IT job codes and things like that. And yeah, part of kind of sharing the jobs too is just being able to say, hey, look, we know there's a lot of phrases and ways that people describe this work. So if there's stuff that I can do to, you know, help just kind of shine a light on, you might not have expected this company or this industry or even this job title to be something really cool and exciting, but actually it is. And it really is a place where you can show up, put people first, give them really compelling, helpful information and help them do stuff. It's all kind of coming from that place of just trying to help people.
I love that. So everyone that is maybe looking for their next content designer, UX writing or related job, I'm going to link Shannon's profile in the info box. So just go and follow her or connect with her to keep track of all of that. Shannon, I think like we need to dig in a little bit deeper into your career in UX writing. So how did you get into it? Maybe how did you first like hear about the field and then what made you curious about it?
Oh my gosh. It was all a series of random coincidences and connections and a little bit of good luck. So when I was doing my undergraduate degree in English, I thought I was going to be a teacher. I thought I was going to be an English teacher in high school. Again, pay it forward. I had a wonderful bunch of teachers that I just loved. And they helped me not only as a student, but they really saw me for who I was as a person, and they made safe spaces for me to show up and be myself in school too. And I just was like, oh yeah, I want to be that teacher. I want to be that for other people. And then I dropped out of my teaching track. And I didn't really know what I was going to do. But my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband, was working at a little locally owned web design and graphic design shop, and happened to go to the company owner and said, hey, you know, is there anything Natalie Shannon could do to help us out, you know, while she's trying to look for a job, land on her feet, all of that. And they said, no, you know, right now, like, you know, we've got our web design staff, our graphic design staff, and we're good right now, you know. But they actually ended up going back to him and they said, hey, didn't you say she's a writer? And she's really, really good at that. We could actually use some help with our web copywriting, mm-hmm. and help getting our clients, one, to get their content in on time, or two, to help them proofread, edit it, help them just kind of, you know, get the quality a little bit up higher, because what they were running into is they would kick off web design projects and then they were stalling out because people were like, oh, yeah, I can do the content. And then they tried to do it and they're like, oh, this is really hard, or I don't have time. Or what they would deliver wouldn't really be like ready for a website. So yeah, a very fortunate connection, got my start in web copywriting, which also turned into learning about and teaching myself about search engine optimization, eventually blogging. It was the early days of companies using Facebook and Twitter and social media to connect with people. So My first foray was really, really solidly like in web content, web copywriting. And at the time I didn't know like web content strategy was a thing. Didn't know that it had a name per se. But I was doing all that stuff without realizing it. And yeah, from there, my career took some twists and turns into different aspects of content. And I did kind of the web copywriting, content marketing thing for several years. I did a pivot into instructional design. So I worked at a company where we created training content. So in my case, I learned how to script and direct live action training videos, animations, also did like long form content in the form of training workbooks, or helping to prepare the actual like training content that the trainers would deliver. Did that for a couple years. And then at that same company, two really cool things happened. One, I had the chance to get exposed to product design and UX. So this company, they would team up with companies, and in a really great situation, they would do a training program for them and then also help develop some kind of software tool. So say we were working with a big company on their sales training process. We'd work with them to develop all of that training content. And then we would also work with them. One was a telecommunications company. And so we not only helped them train up sales reps on their new training sales process, but then we also did the iPad app that they would use if they were working with folks to help put together, you know, like their internet package, or if they wanted TV, internet, and phone. They had an interactive tool they could use to guide that conversation, assess their needs, and then kind of recap, okay, here's the package you're going to sign up for. Here's what you pay today. Here's when we'll come install your equipment, yada, yada, yada. So getting to like get exposed to that team that was working on those apps, I was like, whoa. Like, it seems so obvious now. Like, oh yeah, there's someone behind the scenes making Facebook and making Twitter, but like I had that aha moment of, wow, all this stuff that I've been doing as far as the writing, and what was really exciting to me about that, about like helping people tell their story, giving them really, you know, complicated information in little chunks, making it easier again to find and act on and do something with information. I saw this new way that it could be applied, and I was like, ooh, yeah, tell me more about that thing over there. I want to learn more about that. So it started just with questions. At that company, we used to have a weekly team meeting where folks would demo projects that they were working on. So when people like our engineers and our product managers and our product designers and visual designers and UXers, when they would show projects, I'd go up to them afterwards and like ask them a question about, oh, like, how'd you think through that? Or can you tell me more about how this part of that flow works? And then eventually that started turning into, hey, I saw that really cool demo you did today. And I think that, you know, when you get to this step, if you explain it like this instead of like this and make things a really, really clear and really crisp for folks. And they look at me and they're like, oh, whoa, I didn't think of that. But now that you mentioned that, oh yeah, I'm going to write that down. That's a good idea. Like, thanks for sharing that. And like from there, it really, really snowballed. And then it started turning into product managers would like come by my desk. Like I'd be in the middle of like reviewing edits on a training script or something. And they'd be like, hey, can you like look at these wireframes with me real quick? Or if they saw me walking through the office, like going to grab a snack, they'd be like, hey, can you come in here? Can you duck in here for a minute and come whiteboard with me for a minute? We're really, really trying to untangle how we describe this thing, this step in the process to somebody. They advocated for and started getting hours for me and the other content writers at that company to come onto projects and act as UX writers and content designers. And the more that I did that, I knew, ooh, yeah, that's the thing I want to do. Ultimately, I took a little bit of a career break, was recovering from kind of like some toxic job situations and just toxic work environments. And it was when I was on my career break, a friend that I'd met when we were first web copywriters, she had already made the leap into content design. And she was working at a financial services company called Capital One. And she said, hey, we have this role opening up. And I remember in the couple times we've chatted last, you might be interested in transitioning into UX officially. Mm-hmm. So let me know if you want to apply for this job. And then I did. And the rest is history. Went on to be a content designer at Capital One as an individual contributor. And then eventually stepped into being a senior UX manager. So made the leap both into UX team leadership and people management, and did that for kind of my last part of my career there. And then more recently, I felt this pivot felt this call back into refocusing a little bit more on content as a craft and as a discipline. So my last role at Capital One, and I'm at Adobe now, I'm leading content design teams now.
All right. Well, there's a lot to unpack here. I would love to, first of all, like just comment, your path into content design sounds very similar to me. I also started basically mostly doing copy and all kinds of content work, content marketing, whatever it was, and then getting more and more apps and then just realizing, oh, this is quite fun to do. So I think we have pretty similar paths there, but kind of based on this, I would love to like listen in a little bit more, because it sounds like you have like a wide range of skills when it comes to content, but now you're quite niche down in content design. But I think you and I, we specifically connected on the fact that we both really believe in being a generalist, a content generalist, and how that really benefits us as content designers in general, but how that really also is one of the things to future-proof our career. So I would love to hear you elaborate a little bit more on that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where the way I kind of think about it, and I think it probably aligns really well to, like, I think when people talk about like being a T-shaped designer, like I love that I have this really deep root in content. And then by extension, it's been in different forms as far as, you know, writing for apps, writing for websites, writing for, you know, creating training manuals and training workbooks of all things. And I think of all of that stuff as complementary. and being able to kind of just add to my designer or content writer toolkit over time. So even though I'm not necessarily scripting videos anymore, there are still practices that I took from that. That, like, I remember one time I was helping brainstorm some content with another content designer for the Capital One Alexa skill. And part of that is you can preview and listen to what it would sound like to have your responses read out. And from some of the things that I learned about script writing, like, our script looked really funky because, you know, we had comma splices everywhere and we were writing out things probably a little bit more formally than you would expect to see. And in writing, yeah, it looked really, really weird. But then when we said it out loud, it was like, oh, yeah, now that, like, reads more naturally and it has the right kinds of pauses, we're giving people a chance to, you know, if we're really, really spelling something out or emphasizing something, yeah, we need to do that because they're only listening. They don't have, like, a visual for reinforcement. So I think there's a lot of richness in being able to borrow from different toolkits or experiences. I talk a lot with one of my friends, Jay Frank, about where and how we can borrow from, like, service design frameworks and methodologies, and whether, you know, I'm wearing my UX manager hat or my content designer hat, it all still really, really helps me in being a holistic systems thinker. The other thing that comes to mind for me is I want to be really clear too that as a content generalist, I am not necessarily proposing or saying you should also expect your content person to be able to perform 20 different jobs as part of one job. It's definitely not that, because I can see and recognize that, yeah, like, UX writer, technical writer, content strategist, there's going to be some overlaps as far as key mindsets or behaviors, and even some of those skills around, like, doing research, understanding your audience, writing in a compelling way for your audience. But then there's also going to be places, yeah, where you might need to dial up and lean into a different style of writing or a different format or different even, like, tools. Because, yeah, don't get me started on, like, trying to make content designers do all the things and be in all the places all at once. But I think that, like, yeah, just not getting us caught up in this is my tiny little box and this is where I fit, and, like, being so attached to that piece of it and stepping back and thinking back a little bit more broadly about, hey, here are some really cool groupings of skills and, you know, behaviors and mindsets that I've collected. And now I can mix or remix these different pieces depending on the kind of job or the kind of role that I'm currently looking for, currently exploring. I don't know. I always get really excited about, and, like, yeah, no, I can't. Like, I don't personally want to be working on SEO anymore, but, like, if I need to collaborate with somebody on that, or if I, like, need to, like, help collaborate on, like, a marketing email or something, it's like, it's a fun little, like, ooh, yeah, like, let me come over here. And it's a little bit different from my day to day. And yeah, I'd love to collaborate on those things, but then yes, the experts take it through the end, see it through. I think there's a lot of richness to, you know, seeing those complementary skills. And then too, I do think that, like, in the event that you need to pivot your career, whether it's due to external factors like the shit show of a job market we are in right now, or even if it's just as you feel the, you know, what season of your career you're in, and if you're sensing, hey, I'd like to stretch into and tap these new kinds of skills, I would like to, you know, flex and work in a different kind of industry, and my way in, it might not be through UX writing, it might be through customer support or, you know, knowledge management or something like that. I just, again, like, the way I come at it is I like to see the parallels and then also respect and then look out at how, okay, if these things are transferable, and then here's the places where, okay, I might need to learn more about this, or, oh, this thing over here that I did, it's not exactly a match, but I could see how I could like tweak that and adapt it to now be able to kind of rise to the challenge in a new kind of role.
I definitely, I mean, I've been thinking the whole time, like, how do I continue this thread? But I actually think you nailed it and said like all of the things that I would also have had to say about this. I definitely, there's like some great points here on transferable skills, and also in general, just like, you mind by trying something else that maybe even is a little bit outside of your comfort zone or outside of what you're used to, you might find something you really, really enjoy, right? That's, I think, true. For me, that's like one of the main drivers why I love being a generalist. And also, even though I'm really passionate about my specific craft, and I think I am very good at it too, I love like still doing some copywriting, some creative concepting, even like some very like different things from content design, because I enjoy those. And I always feel like if I wouldn't like at least hone those skills in a way, I would be missing out on something. So I think, yeah, definitely, yeah, plus one on all that you said. Another, yeah, thread I wanted to pick up from your little introduction was, so right now you're leading a content design team, but you have actually led a UX team with not just content designers. And I still think that's quite rare for content designers to do, to get in a position where they actually lead teams of people that aren't just content designers. And I'm a big, big fan of that. I think we have a lot of great skills that other design disciplines can benefit from. But I'm curious to hear like your experience with this, how it felt, how you got into it, all of those goodies.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. So for me, it was really, it was kind of like right time, right place, as far as like my career interests and where I like personally wanted to take things. I had been a content designer for a couple of years, and had been a content designer for a couple of years and was realizing that I was looking to stretch and grow in a couple different ways. I wanted to take on and lead projects from start to finish. And I also wanted to start to more formally be responsible for other people's career development and growth. I had been actively mentoring people. I run a meetup. So had also been like doing community events and again, like helping to kind of bring together and curate and help people learn and grow and try new things, but it was always from like that mentoring kind of standpoint. So like actually getting to be a manager was something that I was interested in. So at the time I was reporting to a content design manager, but I also like had a dotted line to two design leads. And I started with like really open, frank conversations with all three of them, one-on-one, just to say, hey, here's what I'm being drawn to. Here's what's really energizing to me. Here's what I'm excited about. And it was just, I don't know, I think, again, like right time, right place. My two design leads and I, like we just gelled from the outset. And they also, I think they both worked with content designers before. So they were like already like, oh yeah, no, cool. We really bought into content design, but through working with them and through our collaborations on projects, we really, really built and deepened our trust. They learned more about how I worked. They saw that it wasn't just about writing strings or, you know, like giving feedback to legal about, hey, maybe let's reframe it this way. They saw the places where I was stepping up and thinking, you know, and connecting the dots between, hey, you know, if, you know, how are we talking about things across channels? Or, oh, I know this other team is working on a similar project. Where and how might we be able to find some similarities and really kind of promote, you know, cohesion? So all that to say, open conversations, putting it out there, because like, they wouldn't have known that I wanted to do that stuff if I hadn't said it in the first place. But then what I ended up doing with them is working on places to find where were projects that we hadn't kicked off yet that they could give to me to run. or, you know, where we're meetings with our product managers where they're like, hey, could you actually step up and like lead this instance, or can you check in with them on this, that, or the other? And basically we kind of started teeing up like my how to graduate riding my bike, like taking my training wheels off. Like we teed up those opportunities where I had my training wheels and I could practice leading projects, giving feedback to a visual designer, helping coordinate with our researcher on how to do things. And from there, we just kind of kept building the case of, and kind of showing, hey, Shannon took this one project and she like knocked it out of the park. She did a great job. This is the feedback I'm getting from the stakeholders. Heck, our stakeholders didn't even like loop me into half the conversations because they were good with the direction they were getting from Shannon. They felt in the loop about the status of the project. They were all, you know, she worked with them to get alignment and approvals. And really, again, it was kind of that snowball effect of I showed up, started leading some projects, started showing how I could influence the direction of other people's work, even though they weren't directly reporting to me. And then I think whatever promotion cycle it was where it came up, where I like could like transition from the level I was at into a manager role, it kind of wrote its own story, because my manager was able to advocate for me and kind of share those stories. And my design leads, because they were already people managers and they were in the room as well, they also were able to kind of, you know, help support and talk about, hey, here are the places where we're seeing her demonstrate these key skills and behaviors. Here's the feedback, again, that we've gotten from product managers, from their leadership, the tech teams, like this is where and how, like people are telling us, like this is where and how she's showing up like a UX manager. So I kind of like did it and lived it. And then the actual like job title followed, but it was really cool. It was really, really cool. It was also a little scary, definitely. Because yeah, it also meant branching out from just like guiding and coaching content designers, which is where I had spent most of my career so far.
Right. I love this, and I love that you got that opportunity, and I'm not surprised that you nailed it. We're getting towards the end of the episode, and I have normally I ask people, oh, like what's like one thing you definitely want to have said before you leave the podcast, but I'm not going to ask you that. I have a more specific question for you, which is kind of based on all of the things you just shared. I'm curious what your opinion is on. So I've been having a lot of discussions lately with all kinds of different designers, so not exclusively content designers, about the fact that I think all design essentially is a leadership role. Because I think that good design comes with like really like paving the path forward, managing stakeholders, keeping people in the loop about what's going on, and then really pushing that more so than I would say other individual contributor positions do. So I'm curious to hear what you think about that. Like, I know there's a difference between being like a lead, like I'm a lead now, and being an individual contributor officially, but I do feel like there's also a lot of things both roles technically have in common, at least if you want to be successful also as an individual contributor and not just, you know, like maintain like your job. I'm curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, I definitely think that the Venn diagram and the overlap between, and like, you can't see me, I'm air quoting, individual contributor and like a leader or a manager. I think there's more overlap than not. Like what, that's such a thing. Oh my gosh, everything. Yeah. Like me over here spouting off about everything's a generalist. Not to discount and not to like make light of the fact that like being a manager specifically, there is a whole host of skills and things you need to learn to do and navigate. And there's like a big like HR component to the job. And as in like, there are really crisp, clear things that you are accountable to and have to like like performance management, performance reviews, and like things like that. Like, I don't want to discount that that is a huge skill set that you need to learn. That's and true. That it is something that you can't take lightly. You've got to really hold people at the center of what you do to, you know, be a really good manager. But to your point about like leadership and where and how you show up and do that, that is not tied to a level or a role or a job title. And also, like this, you could probably do a whole other episode of this, like a manager is not always going to be a good leader.
That's true.
And a leader is not always a manager. But like with leadership, with having a point of view, with building relationships and bringing other people to the table and inviting legal and product and tech and marketing and brand into the content process, into the design process, and really helping them understand it and their role in it and setting them up for success as contributors to it. Being able to help introduce new tools or processes, changing the ways people think about and approach work, like you can do that at any stage in your career. It doesn't have to be at a big company. It doesn't have it, you know, it's at small companies, it's on unheard of projects. And sometimes, you know, leadership, it's also not going to be like a super shiny, sexy thing per se. It might right. be the fact that like, you introduced some product managers to like content prototyping and like lo-fi concepting.
Oh,
like,
Shannon, I have something even less sexy. It might also be just like writing really good documentation. No one wants to hear that, but that's a significant part of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The number of times, especially like in the later roles in my career where it's like, all I did was like write a really good intranet page for the
exactly.
team.
Yeah.
But that was the contribution. Like, yeah, it's one of those things that like, and I think too, like as you get more senior in your career and like, this is tying back into like that generalist vibe, like you're going to be borrowing from the toolkits of other types of content that might not be where you primarily started as your focus. You're going to be borrowing from other design disciplines, and it's going to be design strategy, service design, research. I don't know. Some people get really like into interaction, motion design. Like you're going to add to your toolkit from those. And you're also going to start adding to your toolkit from your sales team, from the help desk or the help center, from internal operations, knowledge management, your business analyst, your product managers, like there's going to be all of these really cool inputs and ways of thinking about things that's really going to start to shape your approach and the way you approach things. So yeah, the long and short of it is definitely leadership is something anyone can practice. And it's something that, I don't know, at the end of the day, I think all of the lines just end up getting blurry because it's really just about maximizing the different ways that you can approach creative problem solving and critical thinking. And again, figuring out ways of working with different groups of people.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Thank you so much, Shannon. I know like we could keep talking forever and ever, but I've noticed that as soon as an episode is longer than 30 minutes, no one listens. So we have to stop here, but maybe we need to do another one.
Ooh, yeah, because we can maybe unpack. There's my guest. There's my son. He's home.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. Yep. He's like, unlock the door, lady. But yeah, I realize in talking about like the UX manager shift, kind of figuring that out from a content designer perspective. Oh my gosh, Ryland, he is just so excited to come join us. But yeah, no, definitely. We could probably do a part two for sure.
Cool. Well, thank you so much again for sharing everything that you've shared with us. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you and everything you do for our community as well. So this was such a joy. And thank you again so much for having me.
Thank you, Shannon.
And that was it for Content Rookie today. I hope you enjoyed it. As usual, you can find all the links and information in the info box. And if you have any feedback or questions, feel free to reach out to me. Bye-bye.